Ever heard of Heartwood Forest Land Fund? The Center on Budget and Policy's report says the company is the largest surface owner in the state, holding deeds to more than 500,000 acres across 31 counties. Well, the folks at Heartwood wouldn't answer any phone calls to tell us about their business practices, but according to their website, since the mid-90s, the company is a timberland investment management organization, which emphasizes naturally regenerating hardwood and some softwood forests. Heartwood currently manages more than 3.5 million acres in 25 U.S. states, as well as in Belize, Canada, Costa Rica, and Panama. According to its website, the company is interested in large tracts of land, 2,000 acres or more, and looks for natural stands of hardwoods, mixed pine, and northern conifers. And it likes the East Coast since it's based in North Carolina. So basically, investors, potentially based anywhere around the world, collectively own a lot of West Virginia and appear to have a vested interest in leaving the land pretty well as is. Of course, Heartwood isn't alone in its absentee status. The top 10 landowners in the state are all based out of state. The age-old question is, can we blame the pervasive poverty in West Virginia on absentee land ownership?
I think around the world where you have extractive industries, you often have very poor people.
Beth Spence works as a coalfields specialist for the American Friends Service Committee. She was also the primary writer for the recent land ownership report entitled Who Owns West Virginia?
And I think it's particularly troubling that right now we have so many children living in poverty in the state. It's something we really need to look at and address in terms of what kind of wealth do we have, and then what kind of needs do our people have, especially our children. I think it's real critical.
Spence grew up in the southern coalfields in Logan County and worked on the Appalachian Land Study Task Force in the 70s, researching land ownership across Appalachia. She says not a lot's changed since then, or at least, like many, she wasn't surprised by findings that so much land is owned by outside developers.
It's a different kind of ownership. In the past, the owners were people who wanted to develop minerals and or who wanted to timber the land. These guys, the force manager, they manage funds, investment funds for people. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see what that means for West Virginia, because it may mean something different.
Spence says answering questions the report brings up regarding mineral ownership and taxation are important next steps. She notes transparency hasn't been a statewide priority in the past. Consider this. West Virginia Code 11-1C-14. All information provided by or on behalf of a natural resources property owner, including property tax returns and property tax audit information for use in the valuation or assessment of natural resources property, is confidential.
The West Virginia Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, says that taxation must be uniform and equal. So, apparently...
Jesse Richardson is the lead attorney for the Land Use and Sustainable Development Law Clinic at West Virginia University's College of Law. He's also an economist. He and students are often engaged in the tedious and difficult work of determining mineral rights for given properties.
We do title work, and it can be a bear to try to find out who owns the mineral rights.
Richardson speculates that a significantly larger percentage of the state is likely owned by out-of-state interests, since mineral rights are often severed from surface rights. But while we collectively wonder about ascertaining such information and about the implications, Richardson says he and several others at WVU are interested in brainstorming about how to cope with absentee ownership. Consider Wyoming County. In the report, Who Owns West Virginia?, Wyoming County is highlighted as having the largest percent of land owned by out-of-state interests. Christy Laxton, executive director of the Wyoming County Economic Development Authority, corresponded through email on the subject. She said, quote, Around 85% of our county is owned by absentee landowners, those being Heartwood Forest, Norfolk Southern, and Natural Resource Partners. These bring great challenges to development in our county. These owners have prime property in our county, and the property that is not owned by them is affected by them to some aspect with regards to right-of-ways, timber rights, etc. She continues, "We currently have an industrial park that is full, and we're in the process of building another one. The new industrial park is affected by Norfolk Southern, with a rail right-of-way through the middle of the property. We are working with the company to convey an easement for use of the right-of-way, but this has been a lengthy process." She adds, "They have been very cooperative, though." Finally, she says, "It's a huge challenge in Wyoming County, but we do the best we can." So Richardson, back in the Land Use Law Clinic at WVU, is wrapping his head around this conundrum. Aside from the obvious need to address transparency, especially with regards to taxation, he mentions things like improving liability statutes.
Now, West Virginia has, like most states have, a recreational use statute, we call it, that if you allow people on your property, you don't charge them a fee, then you're not exposed to as much liability.
Richardson says other steps can also be taken to lubricate the joints where out-of-state corporate headquarters interact with local interests. He's an outspoken advocate of the comprehensive plan. Such plans allow counties to outline goals for how land will be used in the future. While many cities and municipalities are developing or have already developed these plans, only a small fraction of West Virginia's 55 counties have taken up the initiative. Richardson explains that without zoning or subdivision ordinances, largely rural counties don't feel the need to take such action, but it might be in their best interests.
If you're going to apply for grants for economic development purposes, a lot of times the funder will want to see your comprehensive plan so that they know that you have goals.
Richardson also believes we can do more as individual citizens to claim ownership, regardless of land boundaries.
I guess the other thing I would point to would be public participation. It's up to the citizens of West Virginia to decide how they want to deal with these issues.
In his practice at the WVU Law Clinic, Richardson all too often encounters neglect. He says without a will, for example, properties are bequeathed by default to people who have long since left the state and had expansive families elsewhere, all unaware or uninterested in their percentage of ownership. Land is left to invasive plants like garlic mustard and multiflora rose, properties abandoned and condemned because it was easier to buy a new plot than one owned by some 300 far-flung individuals. Richardson says apathy and incognizance are areas we can address. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.